Chapter 30. Our Final Hours. Istvan V, during the Great Crusade. The blast struck with the force of an atomic, or at least it felt that way to the salamanders within it. They had been following Vulcan up the hill, hard on his heels as he smashed into the disciplined Iron Warriors' ranks. He had hit the armor quickly, much more quickly than Numion had believed possible. Wrath drove him, that and a sense of injustice. The ignoble actions of his brother Primarchs had wounded Vulcan to the core, far deeper and more debilitating than any blade. Vaunted warriors all, the Pyre Guard could scarcely keep up. It was snowing overhead, a squall of white ash descending upon them in their ignited fury. It was thick and strangely peaceful, but there would be no peace, not any more, not now the galaxy was at war. Horus had seen to that. Battle companies followed in the wake of their lords, captains roaring the attack as thousands of green-armored warriors chased up the slope to kill the sons of Perturabo. It was relentless, brutal. Withering crossfire from both the north and south faces of the Urgal Depression cut down hundreds in the first few seconds of deceit. The 18th Legion were shedding warriors like a snake sheds scales, but still they drove on, determined not to back down. Tenacity was a salamander's greatest virtue, that refusal to give in. Upon the plains of Istvan, against all of those guns, it almost ended the Legion. It was at the crest of the first ridge, a jagged lip of stone studded with tanks, that Numion first saw the Arc of Fire. It trailed long and blazing into the darkling sky. The tongue of fire climbed, and upon reaching the apex of its parabola, bent back on itself into the shape of a horseshoe. Rockets screaming, it came down in the midst of the charging salamanders and broke them apart. A savage crater was gored into the Urgal Hills, like the bite of some gargantuan beast resurrected from old myth and birthed in nucleonic fire. It threw warriors skywards as if they were empty suits of armor, bereft of bone and flesh. As a bell jar shatters when dropped onto rockcrete from a great height, so too did the Legion smash apart. Tanks following after their Lord Primarch were flung barrel-rolling across the black sand with their hulls on fire. Those vehicles in the mouth of the blast were ripped apart. Tracks and hatches, chunks of abused metal torn to shrapnel, exploded. Legionaries spared death in the initial blast were eviscerated in the frag storm. Super-heavies crumpled like tin boxes crushed by a hammer. Crewmen boiled alive. Legionaries cooked down to ash in that furnace. It went deep, right into the beating heart of the salamander's ranks. Only by virtue of the fact that they were so far ahead were the Pyre Guard spared the worst. With immense kinetic fury, it threw them apart and smothered their armored forms in a firestorm. An electromagnetic pulse wiped out the vox, a threnody of static reigning in place of certain contact. Tactical organization became untenable. In a single devastating strike, the Lord of Iron had crippled the 18th Legion, severed its heads, and sent its body into convulsive spasm. Retreat was the only viable strategy remaining. Droves fell back to the drop site, trying to climb aboard ships that were surging desperately into the sky to outreach the terrible storm of betrayal below. It was not a rout, though for any force other than Legiones Astartes, it would have been, faced with such violence. Many were cut down as the traitors threaded the air with enough flak to wither an armada. Groaning, feeling the extent of every one of his many injuries, ignoring the urgent cascade of damage reports scrolling down the left side of his one still functional retinal lens, Numion staggered to his feet. A piece of armor, one he knew well and had seen before, lay within his grasp. He took the sigil once worn by Vulcan and tucked it into his belt. Leodrak was with him, but he couldn't see Vulcan or the rest of the Pyre Guard. Through a belt of grimy fog, he thought he saw Gan dragging Varun by his metal collar. The veteran was on his back, legs shredded, but still firing his bolter. But he was too far away to be sure, and there was too much death between them to make regrouping an option. Smoke blanketed the ridge, and the ash fall had intensified. Heat haze from the still-burning fire blurred his vision. He saw the crater. He'd been thrown back from its epicenter, and the hundreds of twisted bodies within. They were incinerated, fused into their armor. Some were still dying. He saw an apothecary, he couldn't tell who, crawling across the earth with no legs as he tried to perform his duty. No gene seed would be harvested this day. No one who stayed on Istvan in the emerald green of the 18th would live. Numion had to reach a ship. He had to save himself and Leodrak. As he tried to raise the others and his Primarch through the mire of static, he vaguely recalled being lifted off his feet and punched sideways by the resulting backwash of heat from the explosion. They were far from the crest of the ridge now. They must have slipped into a narrow defile that had carried them back down and shielded their bodies from the fire. Numion assumed he had blacked out. There were fragments, pieces that he didn't possess in his eidetic memory of what happened after the missile strike. He remembered Leodrak calling out his brother's name, but Skatarvar hadn't answered. None of the Pyre Guard were answering.
"Skar!"
Leodrak roared, half delirious with pain and grief.
"Brother!"
He was clinging to Skatarvar's bloody gauntlet. Mercifully, there was no hand or forearm inside it. The glove must have been wrenched off in the blast. Numion seized Leodrak by the wrist.
"He's gone. He's gone. We are leaving, Leo," he said. "We're leaving now. Come on."
The salamanders were not the only legion to be punished by Perturabo's ordinance. Iron warriors, those bearing the brunt of Vulcan's wrath and that of his inner circle warriors, had also been swept up in the explosion. One, his battered senses returning, went to intercede against Leodrak and Numion, but the Pyre captain cut him down with his glaive before he could draw down on them. A warrior, one of Kigorsi's pyroclasts, clawed at Numion's leg. By the time he looked down to help him, the warrior was dead, burned from the inside out. A wisp of smoke trailed from his silent, screaming mouth, and Numion turned away again.